Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to the latest episode. How are you doing, Lucy?
I'm very exhausted.
I saw the pictures from last night.
Wow, Eugene is baying me out, you know. I'm just saying, I have to remind people who I am so I can keep getting these snowflakes. And as you're sending me the snowflakes, please also ask my PayPal details. Don't be sending me snowflakes and be a brokey.
Just to clarify, we were out, or you were out, mm-hmm. Before, what's the, like, it's a 10 o'clock curfew.
You were
done before, long before then.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. No, I was. Don't worry. Listen, hey, I'm keeping it safe out here, you know. I did what I had to do, went out, I ate well, took some nice pictures and came back home and slept, you know. Right before the curfew.
But yeah, let's get into it. So we're recording on a Saturday, just because, yeah, just our schedule's a bit busy this weekend. Mm-hmm. But obviously we're literally bang in the middle of, I say in the middle, we're coming to the end now of the French Open.
Yep.
So we've already had the women's final take place.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Iga Świątek. Poland.
If we're pronouncing it well, but yeah, shout out to her.
I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm quite confident.
We try. But yeah, shout out to her. She played amazing throughout the slam and stuff. She's the one who took Halep out. So shout out to her for reals. When she took her out, I was like, oh, she can win the slam.
Do you know what? I had no idea, yeah, that Halep was like, I don't want to say hated, but like she seems like she's quite disliked.
You have no idea, do you? You out of here.
See,
listen,
I'm stupidly naive.
Do you know what? The thing is with me, yeah, it's just I she's a fantastic player. She's a great player, don't get me wrong, but she's bad vibes.
Bad vibes, wow.
She's just bad vibes.
What do you mean by that?
Like she's just bad vibes. That's it really.
Because again, that win for Świątek against Halep was quite convincing, like straight sets. Mm-hmm. I don't think it lasted. I don't know how long it lasted, but I don't think it was that long.
Well, I think also people were guessing a lot about Halep as well, which I can understand because she actually did win a clay tournament. But people should have looked at her record when it comes to French Open. How many times was she in finals and she didn't win anything?
Because she won it in 2018
against, and she was playing against Stevens.
Sloan, yeah.
So, which was a tough one as well. Mm. But yeah, so that's why I wasn't too surprised. Remember, you even asked me
last episode
and you were shocked that I didn't say Halep. I was like,
no, I was actually, yeah.
I was like, nah, man, I actually don't think she has it in her.
With, the ladies that were in the final, so Sophia Kenin, like, how impressed were you, like, with her?
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. You know how everyone just gasses everyone and stuff? I was just seeing her, like, after she won the Australian Open, I was like, yeah, you need to do more for me to be convinced that you're that girl. But for her to reach another Grand Slam final in the same year during a pandemic, or as Gunnar says, a panoramic. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but it was a video of Gunnar talking about, and instead of saying pandemic, he said panoramic.
Gunnar the rapper,
yes. But yeah, in the middle of a panoramic and, you know, coming from the US Open and everything, I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on her. Yeah. I really thought people were just, because you know how people are, you win one slam and it gas you like forever. So I stopped doing that. I literally just wait and be like, you won one slam, great. Now show me more. Consistency is more important than anything else. So yeah.
I think off the back of that, it's true. Like she kind of backed up the Australian Open performance, like by reaching the final here.
Exactly. And this is a complete different surface as well. The conditions were completely different in French Open.
We'll get on to that.
Yeah, we'll get on to that.
Just on Kenin as well. Like, so I think it was Rome. She lost to Victoria Azarenka. I think it was Love and Love. Mm. Like, she literally lost in I think it was the second round. I think she must have got a second round, or she got a first round bye. Mm-hmm. But that was like her warm-up tournament before the French Open. Wow. So to lose Love and Love to Azarenka and then literally come into the French Open, make it all the way to the final, it's pretty good going. Mm-hmm, so
definitely.
I think, yeah, fair play to her. And like you said, she's kind of shown that she's pretty much the real deal, I guess you can say.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to... Next time she's playing, I'm definitely going to watch a couple of her matches and keep an eye on her.
It's funny as well, like watching her dad in the box, because obviously her dad's her coach. Mm-hmm. Like he gets so like aggy.
How do you feel about parents being coaches?
No, it's a good question. Like yeah, I think it
works. Especially you used to play as well. Yeah. So like, how do you think like it's something that helps? Like what do you think is good or bad or more in the middle or?
I don't think there's like a right or wrong answer. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting on the fence here. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think if you look at players that have, or basically, yeah, a parent is their coach,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, it tends to work out quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I know there's been, we'll talk about like the men in a bit, but like
mm-hmm.
Stefanos Tsitsipas, like mm-hmm. his dad is his
mm-hmm.
coach.
Mm-hmm.
And like that relationship, like it's quite, what's the word? Like,
yeah, it looks weird.
Yeah, it's like fictitious, if that's the right word. Like, but at the same time, you can see the love mm-hmm. and like the
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
admiration he has for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you do sometimes wonder, like, it might be a good idea if he was to kind of maybe, yeah, like get someone new in to kind of come away from like the whole,
mm-hmm.
just to get like some new ideas, I guess.
That's my thing. Because me as a fan, I feel like it's either it shouldn't happen or they have someone else as well, okay, as a coach. Wow. I feel like they should have an actual coach and if they want, their parents as well.
Yeah.
Or no thingy coach. I think it just gets too... it's a bit like how, you know how people say you shouldn't mix business with family. That's how I am in general.
Okay.
So I think that's why I'm more like, yeah, to me it's just, you know, I sometimes feel like some players could have reached their potential if they actually got out of there. So like, it's really random. People might not go like agree with me on this one, but Garcia, the French player,
okay, yeah,
I think if she gets rid of her dad, she'll be great. She has a lot of potential, honestly speaking. I think a lot of people get onto her, but she has it in her. There's something missing, and I think one of it that could help is her getting rid of her dad. But it's interesting to see your point, because obviously you've played before, but I just always felt like it's just, I don't know, it's just weird. It's just like really weird. Like sometimes I even wonder, obviously I won't get into it, but I even wonder if the Williams sisters and their dad's relationship would have been a bit different or not.
Because obviously, Richard was coaching them for a long time.
He did a wonderful job. Yeah. But eventually, you know, they had to get, you know, away from that mm-hmm. and everything. And even their mom as well, she was coaching as well. She was helping out like everyone, the whole family. So...
No, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, with the women, that kind of like, I guess with the final anyway, that wraps up like their route to the final.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The men now still to come. So we've got the most predictable final, I guess you could say. I think because the last episode, I didn't actually say who I thought was gonna win.
Who did I say? I think I said team. Did I?
I can't remember. You know,
I can't remember.
I think you said Novak.
Yeah, I said Novak. Yeah. I said Novak because I was like, you guys took away his US exactly, Open, so yeah, it's coming for blood.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I think Nadal is in trouble tomorrow. Definitely 100%. I think it's going to be. I know a lot of people on Twitter were saying how they were not bothered.
Yeah.
I think it's capped though.
We'll talk about that as well.
Yeah.
For me, there's a lot of I kind of relate to that.
He's definitely chill, but you know, if you think about it, it's going to be our first big three match of the year, which is fucking crazy. Which is
mad. But it just shows the year we've had though, like the stop start, COVID,
like October, and
we're playing the French Open still. Exactly. So you think Novak, how many sets?
Oh, it's gonna be a tough one.
So it's not gonna be straightforward.
Oh hell no. Against the King of Clay.
So you think a five setter then, or?
Five or four sets.
Because no,
five sets, definitely.
To be fair to Rafa as well, and I wasn't really watching his semi-final, but he played Diego Schwartzman in mm-hmm. his semi.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd lost to Schwartzman in Rome
mm-hmm.
like 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
So I was like, you know what? And you've said this before, like previous like episodes about mm-hmm. basically like the big time players, big three in the men's case. And mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. you know, you're... Venus, Serena Williams, mm. and like the big players on the women's mm. side.
Mm.
When it comes to Grand Slams, mm. like it's like a different level.
100%.
Like, so
they're like, I can lose you in a small tournament, but a slam,
that's the thing. As big as the Masters is, the Masters, it's the Masters 1000. It's a big tournament, but at the same time, it's not a Grand Slam.
Exactly.
So it was just funny, and I just had you in my mind, like when I was watching Schwartzman and Nadal on Friday, thinking, like, again, there's levels it's to this. Like,
yeah, and plus Nadal owns French Open.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I feel like when he's there, it's just a whole different, it's a bit like Serena, which is at Wimbledon. Yeah, do you get what I mean? Like, you just get like a whole different person. So, you know they have to play 100 times better because everyone's looking for that slam. Like, these kids are getting sick and tired of these old people still winning shit.
If Djokovic wins, he equals,
I think so.
And then if,
I think either he has one more or two more to beat Thing. But I've always said that Novak is going to have the most slams anyway. He's chasing them. Mm. He's been getting slams back to back. Federer is done out here. When I mean done out here, I mean he's like he's getting old. Yeah, not that he's he's the GOAT. He's my fave. You guys know that. I think it'll be interesting. I think towards the end it'll be a battle between Djokovic and Nadal. So
because they're obviously both younger than Federer.
Exactly. So, yeah, much younger as well. But Djokovic obviously is the youngest. But
did you watch much of Tsitsipas Djokovic?
I think I was out.
Of course.
Sorry, guys. I was trying to get cute.
That went to fight. To be honest, I wasn't watching it. I just saw like
highlights. Yeah, I was watching. I saw it on the because I have the French Open app, and I was seeing it. Like, I was like, oh, raw.
Because that went to five, and I think everybody thought, you know what, Novak's just going to come out and do this in straight sets. But then, to be fair to Tsitsipas, he
played really well. There, like, he played really well. He would have reached the final if he didn't think. I've always said, I said Tsitsipas, he's going to be one of the ones that's going to win. I actually see him winning all four slams.
Really?
I really do.
You have said this before.
I really do. And so he's still really young. He's like, I think he's 1 year even younger than me.
I want to say 23.
23, I think he's 23,
Do you think he's the next one then? As in...
Oh, I've always said it.
After team.
Yeah, him, team.
So he'll win a Grand Slam before, like, Sasha Zverev.
I think so. I personally think so. I put more to him than Sasha.
Okay. No, fair play.
Definitely.
So yeah, that kind of wraps up the men then. Now, from a black spin global perspective,
this is a African American live only. This is an African people live only.
The French Open was pretty rough. Like, there's no two ways about it.
Our ancestors was like, do you know what it is? Our ancestors was like, it's too cold for you guys to play. The winter's not for niggas. Get out of here.
Fair,
that's how we're gonna do it. That's what it is.
It was rough. And I from watching, because it started on the Sunday, and it was like it was nearly rained out. Like,
it was ridiculous.
It was raining.
It was ridiculous. Shout out to Azarenka for complaining. She was like, "Fam, like, I think there was one point
a diva fit."
Yeah, because I
didn't like that, to be honest.
But she had a point though. They were outside waiting. All she's asking is, "Can we just go inside and wait?"
That was fine, but I didn't like how she was like, "Oh, I live in like Florida or something." Like, there's no need to be saying that.
But it's true. Like, it's true though. But the conditions were a bit. They were
crazy and it's just funny, like, watching.
So shout out to the players, actually, first of all, for playing because I don't think people understand that could even, I might be wrong, but it can even lead to injury
easily. And Rafa Nadal said it. He was like, oh, it's dangerous to play in these kind of conditions.
French Open said, fuck you niggas, we gonna play some tennis. French Open had they had their mind in, like, from the very beginning, when we're in the middle of lockdown, not knowing if it's still going to be alive.
Switching up dates.
They didn't give two
we're playing
fucks.
In September, relax. Like,
yeah, we are playing. We don't give a fuck if there's coronavirus or no virus.
But no, on to get back to it, like, I think you have to give them credit because
100%
they pulled it off.
Like, they really did.
The fact that every court was floodlit, so no matter what time it was, matches were going on. Like, if you were playing past, like, well, when it's nighttime,
you were finishing your match.
If there was no rain, So I was like, you know what? For them to kind of get all those kind of like, what's the word? The lighting in place and like just the infrastructure, in such a short turnaround, I was like, fair play, because it's a Grand Slam. Like,
It was funny seeing the players like wearing hella layers
when
they were practicing and stuff. I was like,
and even during matches, like they were like, yeah, well, a lot of the ladies, they were like,
they were
leggings,
like wear leggings
and
yeah,
like,
and
yeah,
stuff.
The
yeah,
guys
yeah,
were like
yeah,
Under
yeah,
Armour.
Definitely, definitely. But the thing is, normally it's not, the issue is that it's not that cold. First of all, for those of you who are not from Europe or not from thing, the winter hit us early this year, man, like, yeah, as in we skipped
no
autumn.
Warning.
It literally
no
just warning. Came. We went from sun to thing. So if that didn't happen, it wouldn't have been that cold. We need to put that in mind
true.
As well.
That's a good
the
point.
Weather was like, it shocked everyone. In the UK, it was the same thing. In France, the same thing as well. Even my friends that live in France, they were also as surprised. They were like, I don't know what the hell's going on with the weather right now. Yeah. So yeah, if you think this is how it is in September, it isn't. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to south of France in September and it was hot. Wow. I was walking around with shorts and I was just, you know, doing my thing, being a hot girl. But yeah, and the conditions unfortunately make it enjoyable for me.
Yeah, no, I hear that. It was difficult to watch. Like,
it was, oh my, I remember, I can't remember what's the first match that I watched. I can't even remember. I think it was Venus match. I can't remember, but
okay.
I opened it and I was just like, it's what weird. The hell? The court was so slow. The balls
heavy.
Sounded like they were, I could actually basically bench like those rocks. Balls. Like I could bench them. I could actually bench them. Like that would have been, I could use those balls just to do my workouts and I would have been fine.
Oh
like it was like, it sounded so heavy. I was like, I can't watch this. This is not the tennis match that I wanted to like. And I love clay. I love French Open. Because of clay, not because of them, because it's ghetto as hell. French and US Open are the most ghettoest, you know, slams. But yeah, it was very hard for me to enjoy the French Open this year.
It took a while for me to kind of get into it as well.
Honestly,
to be honest. But for me, like, it's the thing of when I'm watching players that I'm like kind of, I don't know, attached to.
Yeah,
like,
100%. Yeah,
like, you kind of just find yourself being.
Yeah, yeah,
do you
yeah.
Get me,
no,
like,
definitely.
Involved
yeah.
in it, but. I understand what you mean, like, because like I said, from a Blackspin global perspective, we had, I think, Serena, she got to the second round, but then obviously pulled out.
And that hurt me because she played so beautifully on that first
set.
Round. And the thing is that when I saw how the court were, how slow and how heavy the balls were, the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, Serena's going to win this. Because it's going. I felt like she was going to benefit from that. And she, look how she played.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, like
she was hitting those balls like crazy. I was like,
She started off. She did start off a bit shaky.
She did,
like,
which I knew was thing.
Definitely.
But when I didn't, I was not
but
worried.
Yeah,
I was like,
second
I knew she was going to bag it. Like, I was like, she's going to win it because I kind of felt like the way the courts were, the way the conditions were, I knew she could find a way to take benefits off that and just make it work. But the way, like, I don't think I saw anyone besides the men. I didn't see anyone hitting those balls that hard.
I think. And I guess we'll talk about it. But yeah, I thought Coco Gauff.
Coco did.
Yeah.
I was amazed.
Huge win against Joanna.
I was amazed with the way that she...
Johanna Konta. But there was a tweet. I've got the account's name. I was laughing out so loud. They called her Tori Konta.
Yeah, she's a Tory. Do you know, I actually did not know.
I don't know why I found that so funny at the time. But
I actually did not know.
I was like,
and for American followers or listeners, Tory is basically a Republican.
Exactly, yeah.
But
we don't really mess with them. But.
Yeah.
And this is a non-political podcast, so relax.
Yes, it isn't, but
anyway,
it is a black spin.
I thought, Coco, and I think I texted you after the match saying, listen, Lucy, like, I don't want to... I don't want to, like, overgas it, but, like, I think...
I really thought Coco, because the way she played was amazing. Because I knew she was going to beat Konta, because Konta had her one-dar, you know, semi-final that happened last year out of fucking nowhere, which I don't think is ever going to happen. So I wasn't that scared. Like, a lot of people were like, oh yeah, she reached semi-finals last year. I was like, we're talking about Conte here. We're not talking about, like, this girl is normally out on the first two rounds of any clay tournament. But, or any tournament. But but the way Coco came, it was crazy.
Really mature, like, display, like.
For a 16-year-old, I was like, and I don't even like saying her age that much.
And
you get what I mean?
And this was her debut as well at the French Open.
She
won the junior event 2 years ago. I think the youngest ever junior to win. I think she was 14 at the time.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy. But yeah, so she, it's not like she's not played on the grounds before. But for this to be her first main draw of the French Open, like,
When did she lose? Second or third round?
So she lost in the second round. Okay. Yeah, to Trevisan, the Italian.
Right.
Yeah, and again, that was a really, like, I tweeted something about her, how I think she's going to learn a lot from that, because...
Yeah, I'm just hoping she's not... I feel like I'm just hoping she's not getting lost into everyone just putting pressure on her.
I think the complete opposite. I think she's so, like, well-grounded, and, like, it's funny how we were talking about, like, family or parent coaching. I think her family structure is so strong, like, it's going to keep her, like, on the straight and narrow, basically. So I don't see any, like, problems to her going forward. Like, I think that loss, like I said, it's going to do her more good than harm.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, she should have won the match. And, like, basically, not taking anything away from Trevisan, because obviously she played really well, but she didn't win that match. Coco lost it, if that makes sense. Like, so that's what I'm saying. That gives me kind of hope going forward for Coco that, yeah, she'll be fine, in these big events. Also, I want to mention Jasmine Paolini, the Italian-Ghanaian sister, who's been liking some our posts on Insta. Shout out to you, Jasmine. But again, this was her French Open debut. So she won her first round match, which was, again, a good look for her. So, like, on the women's side, they were like, as much... Basically, no one made it past the second round, like, both men and women, which is... From a backspin global perspective, like, that's disappointing.
It was a very sad day.
And for me, like, I kind of switched off after that. Like,
oh yeah, 100%. I'm just being real.
Listen, I love tennis. Like, but doing what we're doing, like, my main priority and, like,
and
focus.
The thing is with me as well is just that I just didn't like the conditions, and so that was even harder for me as well.
Exactly.
I'm gonna meet y'all at the finals.
I'm
gonna meet y'all at the finals.
But where I kind of came back in and, like, got re-engaged was the second week, because that's when the juniors started.
All right, yeah.
I was like, wow, okay, let's take a look at the junior draw, like, both boys and girls.
We posted a lot on those.
Because the thing is, you see, there were quite a few, and like, again, on the women's side or the girls' side, a lot of, like, up and coming young French girls, like, in the singles draw, and I was just thinking to myself, like, look at tennis, like.
It's great to see where we're at right now.
Like, it's so exciting.
I really hope that they make it far as
man. And, like, watching, because I was watching a lot of the matches. So the girl I want to shout out the most is, I want to say her name correctly, Barbel. 16 years old, lefty. Like, I watched I watched three of her matches, because she got to the quarterfinals, I want to say. And yeah, like, just seeing her and, like, the level, again, obviously I thought of Coco Gauff, because obviously they're the same age, but then it just kind of made me think, like, again, this sport, man, like, it's
exciting, it's seeing
this is what I'm saying, like, yeah, and, like, to kind of know that, okay, we've got not just Americans coming through, because we spoke at length about, like, the Americans at the US Open, which is great to see, now we've got, like,
because a lot more of the black players are, like, from America.
This is what I'm saying, exactly. So now we can actually say, okay, we've got a nice contingent coming through in France now, like, to look out for. So yeah, like, I want to say, like, it's as much as it's been, like, it's been difficult for us to watch from a from a senior perspective, the juniors have really, like, shone.
Yeah.
And I also want to shout out Kolo Monsi and Eliakim Koulibaly on the boys' side. So they both reached the second round in the singles, but again, I tweeted something or posted something on social about, like, because they were playing doubles together as well,
right?
And, like, just the image of seeing, like, two Africans literally playing
at a grand slam.
Like, and this is a junior slam, so obviously they're both, I think Monsi's 17, Koulibaly's 18, so they're literally now on the verge of basically breaking into the you know, the men's game, and, like, to kind of see that now, like, in men's tennis, like, it's gonna be a first, like, and I'm really excited, like, especially being African myself, like, it's
definitely.
it's just a positive kind of sign going forward, and I just really hope, and I not hope, I know this is gonna basically encourage more, you know, African kids to, like, look at tennis and say, you know what, I can actually play this sport, and that is ultimately what we want. So yeah, man, like, shouts out to the juniors coming through big time. So I think that kind of wraps up the Roland Garros
the last slam of
2020. I think I called it the hoodie slam because everyone wearing hoodies like on that first day because of the rain. But
yeah, even the people watching it and stuff, they were just out here with their blankets and everything. Yeah. I'm so glad that I cancelled it, not because I was meant to be going earlier this year, but I'm glad I didn't end up going again because ain't nobody got time to be watching that in the cold. So, I'm telling you, our ancestors were just, that's what I'm saying. I believe our ancestors were like, you know what? It's too cold for you niggas. Let's go home, pack your bags and go home. So it's okay.
This ain't it. So yeah, the next thing we need to get into is our cover girl for November's edition or November's issue of British Vogue.
Yeah. She looked stunning.
Miss Serena Williams, like.
Looked absolutely beautiful. The goat.
No, she really did. She really, really did.
Her skin was just flourishing.
Fascinating interview as well, like, because I bought the issue, like some people. I bought the issue, obviously on Friday, and like couldn't wait to read it, like get into it. But yeah, like such, again, like with Serena, she always fascinates me because you think you know all there is to know about her.
No,
but then,
we don't know enough.
That's the thing. Like she kind of like. And it's smart on her part too, like, because she doesn't give too much away, like.
Because she knows the media will finish her.
This is the thing. So.
Which is annoying. It's like, see, if you guys could just stop being dickheads, she'll be open to us.
Because I kind of felt like I learned something new, like, about her after reading the interview. Mm-hmm. And just one of the biggest takeaways for me was, like, I know she's quite big on, like, her faith because she's Jehovah's Witness. But that also shone through, like, more so again, like, when I was reading the piece, towards the end anyway. But also, a line, I don't have it to hand, but just going by the notes. So she referenced Reddit, which is her husband's company, and how she basically, she didn't really, like, mess with the platform, like, at the start, because she said, like, just the kind of trolly comments that, like, she would see sometimes, or people would, like, share with her. It kind of made her feel like, yeah, this is like a trash like site, basically. Mm-hmm. So,
but see, the people complain about Reddit. To me, the way I see it is every single social media platform.
Completely.
So that's why when people were going at getting her husband when he was, you know, trying to come forward and help out and redo all of these things and blah 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 when the whole Black Lives Matter thing was going on. And what I was saying, yeah, but you read it. And it's like, it's not like he held people's hand and gave them accounts. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's also these things, you literally see it on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. To me, 100%. Reddit is one of my favorite apps, to be very honest.
Really?
Honestly, I find it, there's been so many times where I want to have like a discussion with someone or I'm wondering something and I'll just type it in and I'll just get so many answers that actually did help my life. That's the maddest thing.
I've never used it in my life.
Oh no, a lot of people. I remember there was a guy, there's this beautiful story about how a guy, for example, he wanted to do like a whole proposal for his wife, so he booked like a mini cinema and I think it was like one of the Disney movies, and he got on Reddit and asked people to come make it seem like it was a normal movie, but the movie was just how it was basically him using that movie to propose to her. So as it was going, and then he just, like, she wasn't even watching it, like, why is this movie going like this? And the next thing you know, it was basically like him going on his knees, and then she turned around and saw him. So that's the thing, it's not just an app where people just sit down and chat shit. People actually like gotten together, have done things.
Fair play.
Just how Twitter, just how you and me are here today. Do you get what I mean? So that's why I never really get it, but obviously I can get it from her. You know, I've never been, obviously I'm not famous, so no one's chatting shit about me, so I can definitely understand for her it's definitely different. Like, raw, I'm out here getting people just chatting
shit. And to be fair to Reddit, like, they've cleaned up like the kind of, I don't know, the users that are using the site. So
yeah
I think maybe, I can't remember the exact figure, but thousands of accounts have been deleted.
Wow,
like trolley accounts, basically. So it's like, yeah, fair play, like, to them on that. But again, that's something, not to go off topic, but yeah, that is something that needs addressing, like the whole online kind of abuse of like athletes and just in general, like it's something that we kind of deal with every day. And like, I think it's something that, yeah, we're going to continue to.
Especially
kind of,
a black athlete as
well. No, man, big time. So, but yeah, another thing from the interview as well, she was talking about like her body in terms of like her own like physique and like not kind of embracing that at first, or not embracing
she
it.
She said that quite a few times.
Okay.
That she took, like, she had, I think actually she said it in her, do you remember that time when she did that HBO documentary series?
Yeah.
Where she just gave birth to Olympia and stuff. I think it was on that one.
Because she did reference basically, having Olympia and then like having this like almost a new like appreciation of like her body. Because obviously what it been through in terms of the pregnancy and like obviously the women's body in general was like a phenomenon. So I completely understood that. But again, like just to hear her like say it, it was like, it just kind of made me admire her even more. Like to know that this is Serena Williams, like 23-time Grand Slam champion. Like the best tennis player to like ever pick up a racket, and like like she's a human being pretty much.
That's
as crazy as that sounds.
When I see her in my eyes, I'm like, this woman's perfect.
This is what I'm saying.
When she's out here saying I have like, you know, confidence issues, I'm just like, what hell are you talking about? Like Beyonce. I remember Rihanna as well. She was talking about this one time where I don't know if you went to like, you've seen her picture where she went at the Met Gala. She had like that yellow.
Serena
dress. No, Rihanna.
Rihanna, okay. I don't know.
But yeah, but anyways, but that one, she apparently went around 3 times because she saw everyone wearing like simple dresses.
Oh, really?
And she was like, I look like an idiot, like no, and the anxiety was going up. Yeah, that's like the best Met Gala dress ever. So that's the thing. It's really interesting to see these black women that we look up to and they're out here talking about the insecurities and everything, because when you see them, but it also shows you that's the shit that black women have to deal with. We are not allowed to show that we are weak, or that, you know, we have insecurities, or we're not happy with certain things, because we always have to be labeled as a strong black woman. And it's like, that's why I think, even not just her, I think just black women in general, when they are saying I'm not good at that, everyone's just pushing you like, no, you are. And it's like, it's okay if I'm not. Do you get what I mean?
And on that as well, like one of the most powerful quotes, and I posted this on the socials, it's about like colorism, I guess you can say. So she basically said, I like who I am, I like how I look, and I love representing the beautiful dark women out there. For me, it's perfect, and I wouldn't want it any other way. And again, like, I just thought to myself, like, because obviously, yeah, she, Serena Williams is a black woman. Like, there's no getting around it. Like, and I don't like the whole light skin, dark skin debate thing, but we all know that exists, like, sadly. But for her to, like, stand in the fact that, yeah, she's a beautiful, like she said, a beautiful dark woman, like, again, that's, it's huge for me, like, and I just loved hearing that.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, just massive like shout out to Serena, man. Like, we can literally have a podcast.
We can have
like
a whole podcast just, episode just for Serena Williams, and the podcast was going to be like 2-3 hours long. Like,
the last thing I want to reference is when she said, well, she was talking about Olympia and like how she, I think she said when she kind of came out, or like when she was born. She looked like she was just literally just came out of the gym, because like her body
her arms like was like, it's like she was benching in her mom's belly, like it was crazy. I actually remember looking at baby pictures and I was like, this girl's gonna be a tennis player.
Because that's one thing I think everyone's kind of like wondering, like, I wonder what she's gonna
follow her mom
into tennis.
What do you think?
It's a tough one. I'd like to see it, but then at the same time, I would completely understand if
she doesn't.
Yeah,
exactly. I said, girl, leave all of that. Go to your dad and do some tech, some black girl tech thing. We need more black women in tech anyways.
I think that is what Serena's trying to push her into.
Her mom likes money too. So if Serena's pushing, because what I don't want is Olympia being a tennis player and she's forever and ever going to compare to her mom.
Completely.
And what if she doesn't reach what her mom has accomplished? What if she isn't as good? Like, I feel like there will be no separation. Like, mentally, it's going to be, it will be great to see. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, it's okay. Let her go into tech. We need more black women in tech. We need more women in tech. So, and her dad is, you know, I think she will have a lot of opportunity. Imagine your parents is Alexis and Serena.
Unreal.
Mate, she's sorted
for
life.
Set for life, indeed. Indeed. So, yeah, shouts out to Serena Williams, man. And the British Vogue as well for making her the cover star. And like you said, the pictures are stunning. Like,
yeah, she looked amazing.
Every single picture is incredible. So, coming towards the end now, actually, you see. So, just looking ahead to what's coming up. I want to shout out Francis Tiafoe.
He's playing really well.
Currently
right now.
Doing his thing in Parma, I want to say. It's a challenger event.
I'm happy that he's still playing.
In Italy.
Just pack his bag and
exactly.
go.
And to be fair, he's someone we should have really like mentioned in our French Open review, because he took Struff, I think he was like the 30th seed, to five sets in his first round match. So he could have won that. Mm, and like really and truly, he had opportunities to win.
Mm-hmm. It was a tough
but
one.
It was, yeah, exactly. So unlucky there, Francis. But like you said, the fact that he's literally gone, he's played, I'm going to say two challenges since the French Open. Mm. Was it 2-1? He played
Rome, didn't he?
No, he didn't play Rome. No. He played Forlì.
Right.
In Italy, and that's a clay court event.
Okay.
And then, yeah, he lost in the first round of the French, and now he's in Parma. So he's now through to the final in Parma. Mm. And yeah, I posted about that earlier today, but he's playing Salvatore Caruso in the final tomorrow.
Nice.
So he should win that.
Yeah.
And fingers crossed he does. But again, yeah, shouts out to him, because he's literally gone down to the Challenger Tour to like, yeah, just pick up some matches. Like, where a lot of players can basically be saying, you know what, I'm going to wrap up now. Like,
yeah, especially like a lot of the US. Like, one thing I even forgot to say about the French Open, like, it was so funny when it started, like, everyone from that came from the US Open just started dropping like flies. It was just like, pew, 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 which
I'm out.
Was completely understandable. No, your body was probably like, hold on a minute, 100%. What the hell is going on right here?
These heavy balls.
It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The body was like, oh, hell no, we're not, let's go home. But yeah, shout out to him for still being in Europe.
He's currently in Parma, like I said, but then he's going to Sardinia for Monday, playing, and I'm going to butcher this name, so just bear with me. So it's the Forte Village Sardinia Open, I want to say. That's the name of the tournament. And that starts on Monday in Italy, and that's a clay court event, outdoors. Don't know who is playing yet, because I don't think the draw's been made.
Right.
As we record. But yeah, shouts out and good luck to Francis there. And then also, so it's now kind of normally it's indoor season now, because it's like October approaching November. So there's an event in Cologne, Germany, which again starts on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the Bet One Hulks Indoors. So we've got Gelmont.
Are they going to have fans? Do you know if any of them have fans?
I'm going to say yeah, because they did in Hamburg, but it wasn't like to full capacity. So yeah, I'm going to say probably some fans will probably be allowed. So yeah, that's literally going to be in Cologne from Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Gelmont Feast playing in that. No, it's fine.
Mm.
So yeah, Gelmont Feast playing in that. Félix Auger-Aliassime as well. And Andy Murray too.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's a good lineup, to be fair. But sadly, there's nothing on the women's side like from next week, which is...
Because normally they do everything in Asia.
Exactly. So the whole, as we know, the whole Asia swing has been wiped out. So the next women's event is scheduled to be on the 19th of October, and that's going to be in Ostrava, which is the Czech Republic.
And I think it's only going to be the European place. I feel like most Americans are like, I'm going to head out.
I mean, I hope not, but it's understandable if that's the case.
Yeah, because a lot of them were out the first round. And it's like, how long are they going to wait for like, some... It's not like it's a big tournament either.
It's true, yeah.
So I won't blame them. I won't be surprised. I'd be like, all right, let me...
Wrap up the year. Like Venus, she basically said, there's nothing else to play. I'm going.
Yeah, she was fam. Her and her sister were out here going to fancy restaurants in France, eating caviar, like crazy. I was just looking at the food. Like, I saw the eggs that Serena was eating. I was like, I bet that cost more than my rent. I'm so certain. But,
that wraps up what's kind of going on.
Oh, and also, they've already started announcing some cancellations of next year.
Don't. Where?
I think Auckland, which is the one that Serena won this year, that they said they're not canceling.
And that's in New Zealand.
Yep.
Jeez. That's...
Which I'm not surprised, because New Zealand, they're living life right now. Really? They're probably their clubs are open, everything. Fam, their president moved fast, or prime minister or whatever.
But then I thought...
They have no cases.
But so why has it been cancelled?
Because why they're going to bring... Because once they open our border... Because that's what kind of happened, I think. I think earlier, again, this like a couple months ago, they had no cases.
Yeah.
I think they opened their border for a bit.
And then all of a sudden...
And it started a little bit. And then they closed everything down. And then no cases. So I think New Zealand... Places like New Zealand... Like, I feel like most places that have no case at the moment, they're not opening their borders anytime soon. And I don't blame them.
Australian Open, obviously, that's due to start.
I think the Grand Slams especially with seeing how two Grand Slams went out successfully, even though there was a bit of a mess sometimes. I don't think French Open did really well in terms, I feel like they could have done better in terms of keeping the players much safer in terms of having their own bubble and everything. What a lot of people do not know, like I think I said this on a pod before, is that the issue is that I think they probably had an issue with space. You know, the US Open, they literally used the entire US Open to keep the players like in the bubble grounds, and everything. Yeah, do you get what I mean? And had like a hotel nearby and everything, or people to rent houses. Mm-hmm. France is tiny, people. Is especially Paris, sorry. Paris is an extremely tiny city. You don't see houses unless you're literally outside of the city. Like, all you see is apartments. So I think they could have done better in probably trying to hire an entire hotel for the players and everything, or giving out, and I don't know, just done something to keep the players much safer, because I feel like that wasn't done properly.
Yeah.
But I think other slams, like the Australian Open and Wimbledon, probably definitely took... sat down and looked at how those two slams went during the pandemic and see what they can do.
Yeah.
I think the Australian Open, and definitely I think Wimbledon, can definitely go really well with making sure that everything goes smoothly
in the midst of a pandemic.
Yeah. I just don't know if how the cases are in Australia.
I just hope though we're not at that stage next year basically. And like, it's difficult to kind of see that now, but like, yeah, I'd like to think we'll be in a position where we are kind of.
I just hope fans can at least watch a bit like the way of the French Open.
Because I was going to say, and we'll end it here. Like in terms of the two slams we've had this year, so as in mid-pandemic, the US Open and the French Open, which one for you has been the most successful?
Oh, US Open, definitely. Yeah, like I said, 100% US Open. Like, I feel like French Open, first of all, French Open from the very beginning, I feel like they were they were not organized, like in terms of the players, the fans, everything. They were only thinking about themselves, and which I decided they need to make money because of that new roof as well. Course, on the thing, was it? Yeah, yeah, court. So, you know, the US Open, they've tried their best. I know there was a bit of a mess when one of the players got positive. Was it the French player?
There were a little things, but I want to say,
I think they pulled it off. I think they did really well. It was just unfortunate there couldn't be any fans, but definitely understand that. But I think they did much better than the French at keeping the players safe, which is the most important.
I think the players would probably agree with that as well. Like
100%, yeah.
I forgot who it was, but someone was it Shapovalov? I think it was Shapovalov. He was pretty much slating the French Federation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just saying, the scheduling's shocking.
It's just ridiculous. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's why I remember months ago I was saying I actually thought a lot of players wouldn't go because of how messy it was.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? But I'm guessing people were eventually probably tired or like, you know, let's just go, like, get what I mean? But I'm pretty sure 100% a lot of the players definitely prefer US Open. And on top of that, the conditions in French Open was ridiculous. So I'm glad that Osaka stayed home and went to Haiti and was in LA and chilling, and she's getting her bag and doing her thing and, you know, she being the queen.
Shouts out to Osaka too. The tweets during the Swiatek match.
Yeah, it was really dope.
I was like, yeah, that now she knows how like us fans feel. Like,
exactly.
We were watching her.
Well, she's made that tweet. I was like, hello, we watch you.
But yeah, guys, that wraps up this latest edition. So appreciate you all listening and tuning in.
Yep.
And yeah, keep in touch. Obviously on the socials, Twitter and Instagram. I think that pretty much wraps it up.
That's it.
Wicked. So yeah, guys, cheers and take care until next time.